everybody, and welcome to episode number 35 of Girl Fight. My name is Nicole Tanner, and I am your host. Today, I am joined by Dana Jung-Award.
Hello.
Christine Steimer.
Hi there.
Lex Schubel.
Howdy.
And Megan Sullivan.
Ta-da.
Jess is sick, unfortunately. I know it's been a while since she's been on
here. Yeah, she hasn't been on here for like weeks.
It's like a month almost, I think. So that's why Lex is with us today. But Lex is also with us because she'll have some unique insight into our topic of the week. But before we get to that, let's start off like we always do with what we're playing. Megan, you want to start this week?
Let's see. Well, I had a bit of a change up. I went to my friend's apartment and three of us played Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, which is actually a really fun game. And I'm actually decent at racing games. I just don't play them that much because I'm not really a multiplayer person. So they're not fun playing by yourselves. But I highly recommend Hot Pursuit. It's actually really, really fun. It's not just a racing game. You go around and like play cops and robbers, and you put down like spike strips.
It's
and
the guys who made Burnout.
It's the guys who made Burnout. I should have.
If you like Burnout,
yeah, it's really, really fun. So I played that, and then I played Nier, which is a really, really underrated RPG. It's a bit of a, like, it shouldn't work because it's a total mess. It's like a RPG action. Bullet hell, puzzle adventure. It doesn't know what
Did
it wants
say
to
bullet
be.
Bullet hell?
Yeah, seriously. It really is. It's just what it wants
Okay. Just checking.
So it's just all Your this face is priceless on the game. Yeah. Yeah, it looks like Christine's face is total shock. But yeah, it's a really underrated game. It's a really awesome game. So, and then I installed, I haven't played it yet, but I did install Mass Effect 2 last night on my PS3. So I'm very excited about that, but it took forever to install. I was like, what is happening? Yeah, it's a huge game. So I was like, oh my God. So finally at the end of it, I was like, I'm too tired.
Yeah, it's too
tired.
I guess
tired.
It's probably not two discs on PS3.
No,
it's 360.
One and it includes all the downloadable
stuff. So it took me like forever. And by the time it was finished, I was like, oh, now I'm tired. I don't want to do this. I'll do it later. So, I'll have more on that next week.
Cool. Lex, how about you?
It's been a toss-up lately. As some people know, we had our Tekken tournament here in the office, and I am still, sadly, second seed. I will beat you, Ben Dickens, and Biz
Dead. Oh, my God.
Ben won?
Ben, no, actually, Ben's one good. Of our guys from our Indie Open House came out of nowhere. So we invited some people
Ben's
up.
Good. He
really?
Was when we did the over the 24-hour game-a-thon for... charity, Ben was kicking pretty much everyone's butt and stuff. So, when we were playing GoldenEye, he was destroying all of us who were playing GoldenEye.
Secret biz dev hardcore gamer. So thank you to everyone on my IGN who decided to hop on PSN and battle it out with me.
Cool.
Sorry I kicked most of your asses.
No, you're not sorry.
I am not.
You don't have to apologize.
Do it again. Yes. So I've been playing a little Tekken 6, so feel free to come find me. And actually, I started playing Heavy Rain.
Oh, that's the other game I played. What did you think of it?
So far, I'm on, I think, the fourth trial. Nobody give it away. I find it really enjoyable. A little slow in the beginning. I understand you got to learn whole new mechanics and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. But definitely picks up. I had a couple of moments of, oh, my God, I can't do this. Oh, my God, I can't do this.
That's why I put it down. I got 2 hours in. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm having this breakdown.
Did anybody else? This is not, I'm not spoiling anything, I hope. But
don't.
Does anybody think it's weird that he just doesn't look around? Eventually.
Yeah, that's true. That's odd.
And don't you actually like figure out the address after the first two letters come into it?
I don't think
you
so.
Can.
You
I can.
Did.
I totally
can.
Did.
Yeah. I didn't.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
So I did need to do more. But I was like, seriously, dude, you
just go
at this point
head.
You know that there's somewhere around you.
Yeah. There's
fucking
at one point you can, you can skip like if you do everything correctly, you can skip like the last 3 trials or something like that because you have all the information that you need. But I wasn't good enough to
to
accomplish
that.
I just couldn't keep playing. I was like, oh my God, this is so grim. I'm just gonna have a nervous breakdown right now. So
you totally have that moment of you want me to you wait. What?
Yeah.
Oh God! And like, I understand there's supposed to be. I think it's something like 30 different endings of the opportunity.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I just decided I'm gonna play it as if, heaven forbid, this actually happened to me. So I will let you know what ending I get.
All right.
Cool. So far, highly recommended.
How about you, Christine?
I've been playing a lot of DC Universe Online on my PS3, and it's
because WoW was your first MMO, right?
Yes, it was. It's much different than WoW. both in good ways and bad. I made it to level 30, so I'm at the level cap. But honestly,
that's really crazy that the level
it's
cap
so
is that
low.
Right? And
yeah,
that, and that it's
and
been
it's
out
so
for
easy
2 weeks
to reach
and,
it.
Yeah,
because
that's insane.
If you group with somebody else, like WoW doesn't do this. It apparently Nick told me it penalizes you sort of for grouping actually, but it doesn't do that at all
your,
in DC Universe. Like usually, if you get loot off of something in WoW, it only counts for you. And so the other person has to kill all this shit as well.
Right, because it's alternating.
Yeah, it's all alternating. So in DC Universe, it's all collective. So you can like whip through quests really easily, and all the quests give you like ridiculous amounts of XP. So it really doesn't take very long to level up at all. I'm on level 10 with another character already.
Wow.
So like it's a really fast moving game, and
so what are you gonna? What can you?
That's
do
good
now
and bad because
than,
now I'm.
Have you done everything?
I'm not. So everybody knows I'm not a huge DC Comics fan. Like I just sort of know the big people. I live with Greg Miller, who is a DC Comics fan. But also, I mean, I just know like Superman, Batman, whatever. Like I don't know all these side characters that are in the game. Yeah, I'm like, oh, who's that? I don't know who these people are. What's their deal? Okay, cool. But I mean, playing with other people makes it so much more fun, though. I mean, if I was playing by myself, I would not play this game.
Mm. Oh, good to know.
Interesting.
Like, I don't know. I think I'd get bored, but
level 30, that's really low.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Because I just
I mean,
that,
they
like,
still
WoW
have
like, a
content
WoW
after level 30.
Yeah.
And so then they're now at 85.
85,
yeah. They went from 60 to 70 to 80, now to 85.
But then, on some point at WoW, I'm getting bored. You know, I've leveled up 60, you know, just almost 65. I'm like, all right, I've done this 465 levels, almost the same thing. So,
that's an MMO.
I know. It's sort of, you know, I've taken a break from WoW. And now I think I might take a break from DC just because I'm like, oh, all right, I've done this. And it's they share too much content.
How is it playing on a PS3 instead of a PC?
I don't mind it. Okay. I think it's a little bit strange. We don't have as...
I just feel
many
like,
moves on your hot bar, or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Yeah. Since obviously they're limited to a controller.
Just what so is the PS3 Dominoes? Seeing. Like, what is that add-on?
And it's really, like, you can't chat easily. I don't even chat with anybody if it's on a voice chat.
Right.
Because I don't want to go through the keyboard with my controller.
Especially
I don't
because
a,
it's such
a
non-intuitive.
So.
Yeah, and it's such a non-intuitive. Like, I hate how Sony does that with all of their systems. Yeah. I mean, PSP, PS3.
So that's the bad thing. I do miss, you know, being able to chat easily with people on
wireless keyboard when we were at PSN.
Greg has that, so he can do that. But I'm like, sorry, person who's talking to me.
Just wave.
I know. I'm like, bye.
Do you know how many users are actually playing DC Universe right now?
I don't know how many, no. But I do know that several servers are on high population.
Okay.
One of them being... the one we're on. We are so just I guess so everybody knows we're playing on Redemption for Heroes, and the league is called IGN Super Pals. Yes, that's correct.
Super Pals.
It's all together, all one word, because they have a character limit, so it's only like 13 characters that you can name your guild.
Uh-huh.
So that's all together, one word. And then we're the IGN Super Jerks on the Countdown server for villains.
Cool.
And you can join, just, you know, ask somebody.
Nice.
And
super
we will play with you.
Super jerks.
Yeah.
Classy.
It's a super
classy,
cool league.
People.
But it's fun. Awesome. I've been meeting a lot of cool people on there that we've been
cool
running around and killing people, other people with.
So. Woo!
Yeah.
Party!
Go boss battles. Yeah.
Great way to bond.
I know. But that's basically what I've been doing. What about you, Dana?
I haven't been playing any games at all. I've been in a reading phase. But I did read a couple of cool books. One of the books that I just read was called Unbroken, which I don't know if anyone ever read Seabiscuit, the book by Laura Hill.
No, but I heard it's really good.
It's a great book. Like when it came out and when I read it, I was in the process of moving moving Brian, my now husband, to from his apartment into my apartment. And it was just the two of us, and we had like a van, so we were just driving back and forth across San Francisco, and in between, like, I would just have that book like glued to my face and trying to talk to me, and I'm like, nope, and then I would carry it with me. So her new book came out, and it's Unbroken, and it's this guy who was ran in the 36 Berlin Olympics. Is like, he was, you know, crazy runner, and then World War II came out, and he ended up being in the Air Force, and he crash landed on a rescue mission and ended up in the ocean on a raft for 47 days
oh
and
my God.
Finally
Ugh.
Washed up on Japanese territory and then was in POW camps for the rest of World War II.
Oh my
so
gosh.
It was, I mean, it's intense. It's not for the faint of heart. And I had thought going in that the raft part was like the big,
the worst
like,
part.
Trauma.
Right. And then you're like, oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, oh man, how is he going to get past? We got to get to some more happy stuff. And then I was like, oh no. I'm like, I miss those
misery.
I miss those days of the sharks circling the raft. But it was, I mean, if you've read Seabiscuit, like it's very much, she's a really great writer. So I zipped through that. And then I started reading The Hunger Games, which I'd kind of put off reading, which is the new, it is pretty good. It's the new young adult trilogy. Like it will be the next big young adult movie.
Is that what we call
series?
It now? The young adult trilogy?
I don't know.
The genre?
Yeah. I guess Twilight isn't a trilogy, but the next big young adult series.
Does it involve vampires or anything?
No vampires.
No vampires, really?
No, it's
supernatural.
It's
gods.
Futuristic post-apocalyptic.
Oh.
But
yeah.
No supernatural aspects
gotcha.
To it.
Game for futuristic post-apocalyptic action.
So the first one, the whole premise of the first one, The Hunger Games, is like, it's like futuristic US, and so everything's been overthrown. So there's like a central, there are a number of districts, and then there's the central governmental district, and they're trying to keep all these, they're punishing all these districts for a rebellion. So the way that they've done that is through a Hunger Game. So each year, each district has to send two teenagers to compete to the death, and the winner.
It sounds like a battle royale.
Japan. That is what other people have.
That's
compared it to,
book.
Which I've never read.
Yeah, that's an awesome book.
I will lend you my Battle Royale.
There you go.
It's a really awesome
cool.
book.
Anyway, so I've read the first of that, and I'm reading the second. And it's a trilogy, and all three books are out. So.
Sweet.
And I, once I finished the first, I immediately bought second and third on my Kindle, and they're waiting there. And I should have them finished by next time.
Cool.
So that's what I've been doing and not playing games.
Cool. I haven't been playing a ton. I play some more Epic Mickey. I'm going to finish it. I haven't yet. I am still enjoying it. Although, you know, I'm at the point now where the camera and the controls are not even bothering me at all anymore. I'm kind of flying through it because I'm used to it. Still very much enjoying the story. The way that Oswald treats Mickey is freaking hilarious. It's like, hey, mouse, go do this or go do that. And if you run away from him, he'll make like faces behind your back and all kinds of stuff. So I'm still enjoying it. I think I have like one more major area to go through and then I will be done. I'm not sure. And then other than that, I've been playing some new Facebook games, Dragons of Atlantis, which is from the same people that made Kingdoms of Camelot. Very similar game to Kingdoms of Camelot, except for now you can have a dragon that will defend your city, and you can also train dragons to take out in your army. So that's kind
of
cool.
Those Kingdoms of Camelot fans are hardcore too.
Oh yeah,
like when we did the voting, the reader.
Oh yeah,
the reader
because they posted it on their site, but
then they all came. So because we did reader polls when we did our best of IGN, and so it by far won best Facebook game. But they got more. It got more
votes than any other category.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So kabam, they're good on the on the viral stuff. They also have another game called Glory of Rome, which I started playing as well, but that one is almost exactly like Kingdoms of Camelot, so I kind of stopped because I played it before. And then the other game, which is actually super encouraging, this is Facebook Games taking things to another level, is this game called Monster Galaxy, which is Pokemon on Facebook. What has traditionally been done in Facebook games where you battle is that you equip yourself as best you can, and then once you're fighting, you can't do anything. Like, you just have to watch it play out. But Monster Galaxy is true turn-based stuff. You have attacks, you have, you know, potions that you can heal with, and so it's a real RPG. It's the first one that I have seen. It's the first real turn-based.
Actually, you reminded me of one thing that I did play, which was PGA Tour. It's EA's new golf game, which I'm not a sports person, really, but their Facebook game. And you are actually golfing, which is the first of their games to do that. I mean, it's light, but you're swinging, and then you can put spin on the ball, and you know, you're doing the putting, you're going through the courses and stuff. So if you are interested in golf, it would be worth checking out.
Yeah, so as somebody who was forced to cover Facebook games, I am starting to get very happy because they're starting to turn into real games now.
It's not a bunch of crap anymore. Yay!
So,
I have something really random. I mean, this is not, I think I told you this earlier, but I thought it was funny. It's not what I'm playing, but I was talking with my mother-in-law last week. And so I gave her, I mentioned on the podcast, I gave her my old 360 last summer. Yeah. And so she's been playing games, and I sent a stash of games with her, and one of them was Halo 3, which she just played, and she was like, I love that game. She was like, I, that's so awesome. She was like, that's I really like this game, and she was like, I need more like this. And I was like, well, go try Halo Reach.
There's a lot of them there for you.
So yeah, so she emailed, so I gave her some possibilities, and she she emailed me like the next day saying, I just bought Halo Reach off eBay for $26 and so it should be coming to me soon and then I will be able to play some more. Which
your
made
grandmother's
me laugh.
Awesome.
No, a mother-in-law.
Oh, I'm mother-in-law. Sorry, mother-in-law.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it made me happy, especially because most of us, like, you know, that most all the regular casts are made known that none of us really loves shooters.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I was like, here you go, Joy.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. And speaking of moms, we're gonna jump into our topic of the week, which is the current ad campaign for Dead Space 2. If you haven't seen these ads, real quickly, the gist is basically they have sat down various motherly types in front of the game and kind of recorded their reaction, with the basic gist of the thing being like, your mom will hate this game. And we had a couple listeners write in and be like, hey, have you guys seen this? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you think? And so that's what we're going to touch on today. The videos are on YouTube. They're all over the place.
I think the official site is yourmomhatesthis.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who wants to start? I've got a lot to say. But
when I watched the commercial or whatever, the ad, I was like, it feels like adults who are trying to be cool. Mm-hmm. But they're doing that thing when your parents tried to be cool with you, and it's painful when they try that. It feels like the same. Like these advertisers are like, you know, they don't really play games. You know, they're not really into the culture. They don't understand the audience at all. But they're like, you know, they only think the demographic is basically either teenagers or people who live in their parents' basement at the age of like 50. It's so
also
not,
all of these moms in there. May I just say? I mean, they look like they are, you know, the age of my mom, my mother-in-law. And so it's like, okay, well, all of you, these people's children would be in their 30s.
Yeah. Even 40s. So why would they care if their mom hates
it? Yeah. It's just they're trying to be cool. Like, your mom will hate this. Ooh, we're cool, huh?
We're cool, yeah.
You're just like, I mean, oh, don't do that.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, thumbs up.
I've got a few issues with it. The first of which being, it's completely uncreative. It's like, this isn't your mom's video game. Like, come on. Like,
this most of them are.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And besides that, the complete lack of, you know, knowing who the audience is. Because 30-year-olds don't do things to spite their mothers.
Right.
For the most part.
Also, my mother-in-law could have been one of those moms, and she probably would like this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely picked, you know, out the people that... They knew they were going to get that kind of reaction.
Yeah,
from,
but I mean, still, like, that's a distinctly teenage behavior in my mind.
Mm-hmm. And the game is rated M, right?
Yeah, so which brings up the other issue is that
18 plus, technically.
To me, that it looks like they're marketing to kids, which is a big no-no. Like, the ESA, the ESRB, everybody says, no, 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 we don't market to kids, no. And then,
and then you do.
Yeah.
And then
you do. Yeah. I mean, this is the first ad I've seen that really felt like, to me, it's really, the content is really directed at a younger audience than is appropriate.
Right.
So ESRB, if anyone's listening.
Yeah. But the thing that's funny is ESRB has to approve those
ads.
That's
true.
So somebody at the ESRB is asleep at the wheel.
They have
obviously
to approve the ads if there's gameplay in it.
They have to approve everything.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it doesn't shock me because this is the same studio who had Dante's Inferno, which Dante's Inferno, if you didn't know, I mean, it was the marketing people. So it was targeted more towards the press and not towards consumers as much. But they had the most obnoxious, really, really, really horror. I thought it was just disgusting and pandering. Marketing campaign for focusing
really
on
bad.
The seven deadly sins and
The worst tagline ever, go to hell.
Yeah, yeah.
And really... staging a protest at E3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, on the heels of that, I mean,
Yeah, it's not surprising.
This ad annoys me that it gives moms a bad name as a mom. Thanks for making us all seem like sticks in the mud and like people who don't get it and who are like, oh, the kids and their games.
Especially at a time like this when we've got a case before the Supreme Court,
this is
doing nothing but say, look at these violent games. They are just for kids.
Look at these violent games made for kids that reasonable adults
will find to be
despicable and the worst thing they've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's like, can you shoot the industry in the foot, you know, anymore? It's just, I don't know. What's your take on this?
I personally hate the ads. I think they're stupid. I think they're ridiculous.
Well, give a little bit about your background.
So for those of you who don't know much about me, even though I do ad products here, I've actually been working in the video games industry for a while, and I specialize in online marketing, brand marketing, worked in anime, manga. So, like, I have been the person at the table saying, all right, we have this really badass game. We have to figure out a way to get people to buy it, like it, talk about it, do the whole nine yards. The irony of this is we're talking about a title that is a franchise sequel.
Mm-hmm.
B is a solid franchise. You really don't need to do a lot of work on Dead Space to get people to go, ooh, Dead Space 2. just a little FYI out there. And so, like, I can totally see either the agency that's working on this, which, if you don't know, publishers don't necessarily come up with their own marketing campaigns. Right. They hire an agency to do it, and they work together. I've had good experiences with agencies. I've had bad experiences with agencies. So, but everything, again, at the end of the day, has to be approved. And I think what the conversation was like, okay, cool. We've got this great title. It's a horror title. And they just kind of focused on the idea of horror. And, oh my God, Old Spice had an epic viral campaign earlier in the year with videos. Mm. Let's try and do something like that.
It also strikes me that it was made by people who don't really know anything about games.
So I get the sense that we got an agency or creative agency that jumped on the boat, like a little bit on the boat here, and was like, cool. So we watched a couple trailer videos. We did a little Wikipedia research. Moms don't like this game. And it's like, wow, if you wanted to do a viral campaign with Dead Space, there was so much more you could do. Like, that whole loneliness, survival, horror, space, great HUD system, holographics.
Which I think they did really great on the first game. And you worked on that,
I worked on the strategy guide for it. Oh, okay. So I had a lot of involvement in it.
Because I remember one of the first trailers that got released was, like, this really creepy rendition of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star with the stuff. And that was great. That was absolutely great. It completely captured what that game is about.
And their excellent use of silence. Yeah. Ads, or just the idea of, like, I remember the hand floating in space. Like, when we got the concept art dump, which I can't sadly talk about a lot of it.
Yeah.
There's some really awesome original concept art for Dead Space that you have never seen, but that just sets up the tone that makes this whole thing up.
And
so I find it really weird you would take this game that is an M title. You're basically saying, hey, 30-year-olds who still live in your basement, get your mom to go, oh no, move out. Like, it's really weird to me. Like, and I want to go back to them and go, really, what is the marketing message? At the end of the day, what is the point of you doing this? Like, what am I as a gamer to get out of this?
Yeah.
And I just don't see it. As a marketer, I don't see it.
Yeah. Like,
well, if you ever do that, then you can give them a big middle finger from moms, you know, to say that this is
Dana. Just grab my shoulders and shake them real hard.
Dana sends this to you on behalf of mothers everywhere.
On behalf of mothers everywhere.
The other thing, though, is that even if it was an outside agency, you know, somebody at EA
had to look at it, was like, oh, so cool.
There has to be something. A marketing manager, a product marketing manager, a
or it was
producer,
like,
somebody.
Crap, we ran out of time. Sure, green light to go.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is maybe that the pitch to them was something and this came out totally different.
Uh-huh. But then you don't have the money to.
You don't have the time. You don't have the money. And especially this is a pre-order campaign. This title is coming out later this month, correct?
Yes.
Like, I don't even know what day it's coming out.
Next week,
right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But is it the same agency who did the terrible Dante's Inferno stuff? Do we know?
I don't know.
We don't know.
Because if it is, they should have been fired.
I don't even know. I don't remember what the ads were for Dante's Inferno. Do you?
No. I have no recollection of what the ads are.
I
kind of get the feel that it was...
Vaguely remember one, or I think it was...
Well, there's a difference between advertising agencies and marketing agencies, too. Right. You don't always use the same.
Yeah. You don't.
I know, because I worked at a marketing agency.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was a fun chapter of mine.
There's some chapters in our lives where we just try to blog it out. Yeah. And it's on behalf of marketers everywhere. We actually try really hard. So yes. Yeah. Care.
The other interesting thing today, too, when I was doing some research before we ran into here, I was going through my MyAGN newsfeed, and someone wrote a blog about these ads. Like, yes. Oh my God, they're the funniest thing in the world. Like, aren't what? These great? Yes. Yes. Yeah.
There have been a lot of people who have actually really, really like them.
They're probably the same people who thought those awful Dodge ads in last year's Super Bowl were funny. The ones where it's like all the emasculated dudes and like getting told what to do, bossed around by the women in their lives, and their Dodge is the only way that they can assert.
My guess
they have a penis.
Is that all those people are 17 or younger. Yeah. And if you're older than that, take that to mean whatever you will.
Actually, I do remember having a conversation and saying that I hated those ads, and Damon was like, I thought they were really funny.
Well, that is the target demographic. Yes. Yeah. Damon should go buy a dog. Yes.
But it's an interesting concept to suddenly use that idea of like your mom into gaming, and I think it's another chapter of the whole, okay, everybody, just an FYI, we gamers are growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, we understand you have to hit new people coming in, but you have to understand you have a real hardcore loyal fan base that made you who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just as an FYI, we're still here, and sadly, we're not as young as we used to be.
Yeah.
It is weird that they don't accept that gamer, like, there are still a lot of people who think of gamers as, you know, little kids. And it's been like, you know, it's been 20 plus years since, you know, the original NES has come out, and it really started to become part of the mainstream part of our culture. And why you still think people care what their mom thinks is beyond me.
Although there are, I mean, my own parents who know what I do, what I've been doing for now almost a decade. And they were telling me, and this is just within, like, since I've come to IGN, they were like, oh yeah, there was a guy at our church who said that he likes reading IGN, and my dad was appalled because this guy was 22, and that just seemed way so too old to be like still caring about video games. And I was like, Dad, you do realize like our average reader age is like 27, and he was like, what? He was horrified. I'm like,
Dad, you know how old I am. Yeah.
Well, it's that funny concept of the conversation with your parents of like, you do what? And I'm like, I just work in the video games industry, okay?
Yeah.
So when you bought me that console, just thank you.
will say, my eye doctor, I had an eye appointment last week, and he asked what I did, and I always say editor first, and then he said what, and I was like, well, I work at a place called IGN, and he was like, oh, the game site? He was like, oh, what do you think about, like, and he just his old 360 had died, and he bought a new one with a Kinect for his wife, and so I was like, oh, yay, good, okay, someone who isn't going to be like,
Do you ever have that moment where you go, so what do? You tell them, and you go, where you work at? IGN, and it's like, pause. Because there's either that moment of recollection about exactly what you're talking about, or you have to do that whole speech thing about, you know, we're the largest network for gamers, you know, everything that's on the corp website.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, so you do video games. Yeah.
The last time I had to do this before this was with the other moms at the daycare, and that wasn't as much fun. Because they were like,
I am judging you right now.
I will nerdify your kid in 20
years. Yeah. Yeah, that drives me nuts. I was standing behind somebody in line at Whole Foods at like the bakery or something. And she was talking to the baker woman about her son who was geeky, and she thought it was horrible that he was geeky, and he plays that World of Warcraft. I was just
we love you, geeky son, whoever you are.
Yeah. If I hadn't been in such a hurry and just not up for a confrontation, I would have been like, you know, the geeks are the ones that end up making the most money in the end. So you should
really and be, also, what, you so you'd rather have him sitting around watching football on TV or whatever, you know, just
you'd rather you go around impregnating chicks or something.
You could be doing those a lot worse things.
Yeah.
I will say that most people I tell it are, they're like, oh wow, that sounds really cool, but they never know what it is.
They don't know. It's like, that's one of those things that you just say to be polite because you don't understand what you're talking about. And I get that all the time. They're always like, oh, that sounds fun.
Their face are totally blank.
Yeah, and then I'm like, yep, just do whatever it is we gotta do here. I don't know.
So you play games.
Although I will say that the flip side is that, like, I went to get Mass Effect the other day at GameStop, and if I just happen to accidentally, you know, mumble something about IGN and that I work there, then they get all excited and they're like, oh my god,
So, I've had really interesting experiences at GameStop, like across the board. I actually had to go back to a GameStop mm-hmm. twice in the same day. So in, at my mm-hmm. local GameStop, I'm like, I'm here all the time. How do you not know me? Mm-hmm. First time I go in, bought a game, checked the return policy because it was a present for a friend. Didn't ask for my card number, didn't say anything mm-hmm. to me, didn't ask for help, didn't do the whole nine yards. So I leave and come back because I had to actually switch it out really quick. And I was like, mm-hmm. hey, can you do a quick back check?
Yeah.
In the back, because they have that stack of CDs or discs yeah. for used mm-hmm. games every once in a while. And my card kind of opened up. No, I remember what it was. He asked me, he's like, would you like to pre-order Uncharted 3? And I was like, I work at Sony. He just kind of came out and he was like, oh, really? And suddenly, like, mm-hmm. I had five people talking to me. Mm-hmm. They were all helping me out. It was like, they wanted to talk about titles and things like that. And it was like, really? Like, you can't believe that I, A, mm-hmm. work in the game industry, B, have been here. See, I play video games. I'm just asking for another title for a friend. It happens.
Yeah.
There's a lot of games in the world here, people.
I was yeah. at a GameStop once, and they found out I worked at IGN, and they asked me if I was Hillary.
That's really good. Insane.
I was
oh,
like, man. Yeah, sure.
Next time, say yeah.
Sure, charge it to his account. Does he have an account?
Yeah. yeah. Do you have his credit yeah. card on file? I mean, her? No.
yeah. My worst experience at a GameStop happened when I was working at Game Now, mm-hmm. and, like, women working in games back then right. was still it's, yeah. rarely uncommon, mm-hmm. and I was picking up... I think it was Devil May Cry 2 for my husband because mm-hmm. he wanted it for his birthday. Mm-hmm. And the salesperson was just basically trying to talk me out of buying it. He's like, this is a sucky game. Your boyfriend won't like it.
They do that
a lot. I'm like, first of all, you don't know my boyfriend. Second of all, like, what the hell?
You're gonna make money.
I'm yeah. trying to give you money. Just take
just
it.
Take
yeah.
it.
Wow.
Shut your mouth and take it. Where's your manager? He yeah. would not be yes. pleased.
And it yeah. was kind of the condescending, you right. know, you obviously don't know anything about yes. games.
Right. Yeah. It's the tone.
Is, yeah.
And I always wonder, I'm like, is it because you're the dude behind the counter at GameStop that entitles you to do that? Or is it because you're just that really geeky dude who is entitled to do that?
Or yeah. thinks they're entitled
who
to.
Who thinks you're entitled yeah. to do that? Because really, if you want to get into that conversation, it is on, bitch. Like, I will take you.
To be fair, I have done the same thing to my husband when we've gone into a GameStop, because we'll go in and I'll be like, yeah, if you want to get, like, I feel like I'm like with a kid, if you want to get a game, we can get it. And then he'll go around and he'll be like, what about that game? Because he doesn't pay attention. And I'm like, yeah. no, you don't want no, that one. That one's a piece of crap. And, he'll be like, and I'm like, no.
Nope, you're making the wrong decision. Stop
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You know what, honey? I'm buying you your game.
Yeah. Play this one. Okay, yeah. good. Yeah. Let's go.
Always fun.
Yeah. So it sounds like we all agree
yeah.
on EA being retarded, and even if EA did not actually come up with that.
We don't want to blame anybody. Just
I just want to shake somebody. It's mm-hmm. like, are you not paying attention?
Yeah, you're
to
not
what
helping the stereotypes.
Is happening in right. the industry mm-hmm. right now. Yeah. Hello.
Yeah, no
that's,
kidding.
That's
yeah.
one of the other things, too. It's like, yeah. look around, not just at your title, look around at the industry. Like, I'm heavily involved in the ECA, so it's yeah. something that's, like, really, really important. It's like, seriously, we have a Supreme Court case. Mm-hmm. There's this whole thing about the ESA that just came mm-hmm. out.
Yeah.
How often, like, 9 times out of 10, your conversation is, no, I am not a 30-year-old pudgy dude in someone's basement playing right. video games who hasn't showered in a week.
Yeah.
That's right. not the common thing about a gamer.
Like, yeah. Right.
And it just, I'm in the same agreement. It just yeah. kills me.
Not that,
that
we don't love... any
no.
listening pudgy 30-year-olds who have right. a who yeah. are living in their mom's basement.
Who love those commercials, it's okay. But, but yeah, it's just, it was the thought. I want to know the conversation that went behind it. And honestly, I'm really kind of curious, kind of, what was the budget that was put behind that whole thing?
Yeah.
Because there were videos made, which had to be edited, uploaded, checked. You have your own URL. You have to have a viral team on the ground getting those videos out. So I'm kind of curious, like... what went into that?
Yeah.
What's your ROI on that?
Yeah, I was about to say, what are you getting out of it? Yeah. Really?
And I'd be really curious, actually, at the end of this, after the game launches, how successful that campaign was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, nerdy marketing person.
No, that's fine. That's why we brought you on
Yay!
Today.
How do you track that, though? I mean, because if the game sells super well, I mean, right. it's probably just because it's Dead Space 2.
Yeah. yeah.
Right. Not really that campaign.
So when titles and things like that come out, you always have your benchmark that you always look back at either previous mm-hmm. franchise. But, like, in the sense of when we look at viral campaigns, you look at pass rate, you look at acquisition, you look at view count, you look at what actually your share of voices on the entire internet, which is always kind of a fun, weird, trippy thing to do.
Right.
And so you'll look at that. If it's hooked into a Twitter campaign, you'll probably look at what your uptake was or what your attrition rate has turned into, like what your Facebook stuff was. I mean, there's a lot of metric stats that go against it. It's just really up to them at the end of the day to say, this is what we care about and this is what it is. And really, at the end of the day, you care if you sold the damn game. So
yeah,
true.
I was wondering if they were going to mystically, magically, like put in some secret code at the end to be able to count how many people got it and see what happened. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, but of course, though, I think those ads are going to get, they're going to get a ton of hits just because.
Have you seen the stupid ad?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or, have you seen this great ad?
Yeah. Or we will talk about it on a podcast.
Exactly.
So you know what? Well done to you, whoever made that ad.
Very clever.
All right.
Like, we're going to make a campaign so bad. Now everyone is going to talk about it and want to see it.
All right. So, yeah. EA, stop being stupid. That's the short of it. So we're going to move into questions. You need to bail?
I have to bail. Lex? I'm sorry, guys. Okay. I got to run. I actually have to do biz dev talks.
That's all right.
The sad side of marketing and ad apps. But
thanks for coming.
Yeah,
thank
you
for having me. You can always hit me up on my IGN, Sorco18. I love to chat with you. And Tekken, bring it. So thank you, ladies. It's cool. Always fantastic.
Awesome. Bye. Thanks.
Awesome. Bye.
Okay. So now... we're moving on to questions. If you have questions, you can send those to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. I've actually started reordering some of these for the sake of expediency and timeliness. So, first question is about Mass Effect 2.
Oh.
Just came to PS3. This person doesn't own an Xbox, so they're super excited. Said they plan on playing as a Vanguard, and they want to know if there are any tips or suggestions we have. And I'm just going to premise this by saying, spoilers, just in case.
Oh, on character classes? Okay. Well,
just if anything comes up.
Right. Tips for a Vanguard specifically. I didn't play very much as one. You just have to be really careful because that specific power is like thrusting yourself at an enemy. Uh-huh. And so if you're doing, you need to be careful about when you do that. Obviously, you don't want to do that in the group of a bunch of other people because you will die. So I think it just takes a lot of, you need to just be cautious with that one.
What is Vanguard? Is that like a warrior?
It's a biotic slash
soldierish
soldier
type thing. Yeah. It's like the combo of the
so,
two.
So yeah, and your special thing is I can't remember what it's actually called, but
charge.
And you just like you can fly through like the wall if it's or like a pole or whatever. It's just
yeah, I don't
you just
like
attack an enemy directly. Like
I need
you
a
hit
distance
him.
Attack. I need to be able to keep people off one by one from
Well,
CG.
I did Sentinel, and that gives you tech armor.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, which I enjoyed because you know then you get a boost of armor. That's good, right?
Yeah.
Right?
But, yeah.
So I don't know. I guess just take it slow and sort of get a feel for
the
special skill you have.
If I'm always the kind of person who likes to tank my way through games, what should I be?
When
soldier.
I,
soldier? Okay.
Yeah. That's what I played as and I found it. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. I found it. I always find it boring to play
as a soldier.
People
think
it's
boring, but like I was never that into using any of the biotic stuff.
Right.
And I was never good at doing it well either. So I was like, I'll just let the AI handle this.
Right.
So I always just stacked my team with
I always like having biotics because I like the throw ability. Because if there's too many people around me at once, I can throw them all away from me and then like get them off of me. Mm-hmm. And that's what I usually like to do. I'm like, get away from me. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, and I will say the AI is really good so that if you don't want to, you know,
if you don't want to, you don't have to.
Oh, they are.
I mean, I think it's like 60% of players play a soldier.
Yeah.
But
I keep dying as Sentinel. But I'm not. I'm not very good.
That's. I mean, you always have to have it on.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, until
I'll go back in
down,
and look. Yeah. I mean, I haven't been back to it since.
My biggest tip:
break.
Upgrade your ship.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You learned from experience.
Upgrade,
huh?
Upgrade your ship because I'm going through the game. I'm like, it doesn't seem like it's really necessary, and but it is
it
at
is
the
necessary.
End.
Yeah, you need to.
Yeah. So,
do that.
Okay.
Sure.
Next question. Oh, and that question came to us from Andrew. Next question comes to us from Connor. Connor, and actually, we have gotten like 5 or 6 of the exact same question from different people. So that's why I decided to bring it up. People starting WoW, and they want some tips or recommendations for someone who's just starting out.
I think Blizzard does a good job of walking you through it. I mean, I honestly don't know. I walked in. I mean, it was my first MMO too. I actually haven't really. I mean, I've checked out a few free to play ones since then, but I've never subscribed for another traditional MMO since then. And it was pretty noob friendly back then, and I think they've done, you know, they've only improved that since. And I started back in 2005. So
I just started this year, and it's pretty easy to pick up. There's nothing super complicated, I think. I mean, I would say join Lothar, that realm, and then become part of Pockets Full of Magic.
Yep.
Because we have like a really friendly guild. Everybody talks. So if you have questions or something, I mean, people are always willing to help you.
Yeah. And if you get stuck, it's a lot harder to get stuck. I mean, they've done a lot with the maps and upgrading them. And so like if you're not sure where to go on a quest, because I'm really bad about ever reading quests. I'm usually like, except boom. And then I'm like, what am I doing? Where am I going?
Yeah, exactly. You have to read the quest log. That's a tip. Read the quest log. Well,
since then, they've also upgraded it so much, because like on the maps, when you open up your world map, then it shows you like where you need to go to find whatever, you know, if you're killing something or collecting something, like all that shows up on the map. And you can track all this. I mean, they've added so much stuff to make it even easier to get into.
But also, if you are just starting out, just be wary of the damage classes like Mage or Warlock, in the sense that you'll die a lot in the beginning, and that's just something that needs to be expected.
If you're starting because on
you're a clothy, you only have cloth armor, so if you get swarmed by anything, you're dead.
Yeah, if you're starting on your own, I'd tank it, like a warrior. Yeah.
Or Paladin's actually really a good class, because you can be a tank, a healer, or damage. You can do any. It's a really versatile class, and I'm enjoying it.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Can you wear metal?
Yeah, I have plate armor.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. All right, next question comes to us from Tristan, and this is about Dragon Age. He wants to know if we think that the reason why the controls for the console port felt so clunky is due to the fact that the game was initially developed for the PC, with console as an afterthought. Now, I don't even know if that is actually true.
I heard that it is.
Don't think. Sort of. I honestly didn't think the controls
were
that.
No, it wasn't the controls.
It wasn't the controls. It was just that combat itself felt clunky, and that was because you would take 5 minutes to run over to the enemy and then slowly hack at it.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Between that and loading times, I was like, good thing this thing has a good story and good characters.
Yeah.
And patient.
Yeah. And also,
and the dungeons were forever.
It didn't, also did not do a good job of explaining to you how to actively program your other party members to do
the AI. Oh my God. Yeah.
The AI
so
was bad.
Yeah. I mean, it basically wasn't AI. You had to be
You basically did have to be.
Which
the
I
AI.
Did not enjoy.
It took me forever to figure that out, too. I couldn't figure out why Wynn was dying in my party all the time. It's like, would you do what you're supposed to do?
Yeah.
But that was.
Yeah. I didn't know anything about that until
I discovered that menu randomly.
My husband was watching me play, and he's like, why do you have your mage doing it? I'm like, I don't know. I didn't know I could change it. And he's like, oh, here.
But to me, like, and they have kept that in Dragon Age 2, so you can still do that. But I'm like, and for the original, I was so annoyed. I was like, why would you make it so that I have to tell my party members exactly what, like, I don't want to fiddle with that. That he should know to take a potion if he's about to die.
Yeah.
Or, like, she should know to cast a healing spell if this other person's about to die. Like,
I know that sort of stuff. I guess I'm never going to play in such a strategic way. I mean, my strategy is not to die. So, like, I want my other party members to do not the smartest die. Thing. Like, don't die and don't do something
that's
stupid.
That's why I switched to a warrior, because Alistair sucked as a tank. He would always die immediately. And I was like, well,
yeah.
All right, looks like I'm going to tank it because
I didn't have much trouble with Alistair until the end. And like when my husband luckily showed me how to do that fairly early on.
Yeah, I didn't
and it made the game
so
much easier once I knew how to do that.
Yeah.
I can't remember what I'm playing as. I think a warrior.
So yeah, I played as a rogue.
Oh, I might have done rogue because I do like rogues as a rule.
Yeah. I liked it.
But to answer the question, yes, I have heard that the PC they did it PC first and then they did it console. And I think somebody was saying that, that was kind of part of the reason why it was a little clumsier. And that's why the PC version is so much better. But
it's hard on RPGs, too, to get all the, I don't know. I prefer keyboard and mouse control set. You know, I just usually end up doing console because it's easier. You don't have to install. Yeah. I mean, if you're not playing on the PS3.
You can sit on your couch.
Yeah, you can sit on your couch. And yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
Especially now that we have our computer on a tall, we have it on a drafting table. So I can only sit in like a tall chair. So I can't, I used to would like, I would pull up a comfy chair next to the computer and do stuff. And I can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Next question comes to us from Thwan. Apologies if I'm butchering that. He wants to know if we think education should be integrated with games, and also how young is too young to start gaming.
Oregon Trail, man.
Yeah, that game is flipping amazing. Yeah. I learned a lot about, you know, the wilderness and covered wagons and
accidentally shooting yourself.
And accidentally shooting yourself or getting some disease. You're like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, and the current educational games are really well done. You know, there's been lots of studies that show that kids learn more from playing these games than they do in the classroom.
It's also, you can use, I mean, if you're a smart teacher and you understand games enough, you can use, you know, games made for entertainment purposes to teach things. Actually, Amanda Oxner, who used to work here with us, and she left, and she left to actually go back to grad school at the University of Wisconsin, and she's in a program that's studying how games and then society and learning all intersect, and so they're doing a number of different studies in there, and like one of them is reading comprehension in, and I think, you know, they're using mostly like 13, 14 year old boys, but it's how reading comprehension, how they're
WoW,
how they,
is with WoW,
and so like how their reading comprehension like goes up so much higher when they're researching something about a quest in WoW, as opposed to, you know, some sort of kind of boring topic. So you could teach just teaching, learning how to teach, use games to teach like really cool skills. So I think it's huge. I think there's a big push to it. There's one, I can't remember the name of the school. There's a school in New York that actually switched to an all game curriculum, which I don't know how.
I read about that.
Yeah. And there's another, there are a few, there's a woman who uses WoW like as an after school program sort of thing.
A feature on What They Play about that too. And I think, you know, it was kind of like teaching cooperation and teamwork. And I mean, maybe it was math too. It like had them trying to basically figure out the math that goes into, you know, how much damage you do and all that kind of stuff. So basically reverse programming for the most part. And so.
Yeah. And I just played 999, which is a text adventure game for the DS. And they had a lot of like, I hate math. It was my worst subject. I still have nightmares about not passing math class. Like totally flunky and not being able to graduate. Yeah. I still have those dreams. So I was playing. It's like, oh no, it's going to be like math and logic stuff. But they do it so well. And it's so much fun. Like I totally flew through it. And I was like, wow, I didn't know I was this good at math because I'm interested.
Yeah.
So yeah, it had all this like algebra and stuff like that, and it's like, oh god, this is gonna be awful, but it actually turned out to be really fun. So
moving on to the next, his other question then, how young is too young?
I mean, I'm a pretty conservative advocate, you know, like as far as screen time sort of stuff goes, which I kind of lump into one. And I mean, with little kids, they say, I mean really young, like that under two that they don't recommend any at all. And then you know, I think that what I will probably do with Lucinda when she's old enough to ask for it, like right now she gets TV on days that I work at home. I'm like, here you go watch this. And that's the only time that she really that she ever watches it. Once she gets old enough to like ask, I'm figuring she'll get a half hour of screen time of her choice. I mean, Bible will totally be pushing games, I mean appropriate level games over TV. I'd much rather have her playing a game.
Take
that, Sesame Street.
We do have the Sesame Street game. She's still a little bit young for it, like too young to control it. It's made for really young kids, so it's not nearly the finesse level of controls. But she does like, I mean, she'll sit on my lap and we'll do it together. We haven't done it in a while, but yeah, she was very excited. And it came with a Cookie Monster cover for the Wii Remote, and then she was carrying that around all over the place.
Sure. <It's> cute.
So yeah, we're for education and gaming. And gaming in education, because it seems to make kids learn more. Okay, next question comes to us from Jeff. Jeff says, on some previous episodes of Beyond, there was a feud that happened between a listener and Colin over whether or not it's acceptable for someone who works at a game review place to take games home and play them. He says Colin equated it to a perk of our job where other jobs get pens and pencils.
Wait, what?
And also that it's, you know, that basically that this person is saying that we shouldn't, I guess, that we shouldn't get to take any game that we want home to play without having to pay anything for it. Or, you know, is that an ethical issue that we're not actually buying the
games?
Well,
it's like we have a really large group of friends that all happen to have these games and we just go back and forth. Like,
yeah.
Are you saying you would never let your friend borrow a game? Are you saying, yeah, no, you can't borrow this? Or he's saying you need to go buy it.
That we are prejudiced to like them because we don't have to pay for them?
Yeah, well, so the issue arose
because... It's not like we don't buy any games ever.
Apparently listener called Colin a hypocrite for saying that the EA, the $10 mm-hmm. online thing, was acceptable and that everyone should support developers. And this guy says, clearly they don't see us as supporting developers because we don't buy the games. But I think we do more to support the developers than people who buy them because we evangelize them.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And also... I do buy games.
Yeah, I do too. A game that I really want, I will buy. Like, I bought Heavy Rain. I bought Bioshock 2. I bought Fallout New Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and on release day, full price, new. Right. So,
I pre-ordered Dragon Age 2.
Yes. Yeah, I think so all of us have.
Well, I mean, like, and I'm reviewing it, which means I'm going to get the game. And what our policy is like, if you are reviewing the game, you do get that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just,
you know. Colin was playing Mass Effect 2 on PS3. I could have borrowed it from him, but I wanted my own copy.
Yeah.
But I also think the other thing is that sometimes when we have big reviews and everyone has to like contribute to an editorial piece, it's good that everyone gets the chance to play the game.
That's another thing it's we do. We all write about it. Yeah.
I think that even when we're not writing about it, like
it's good to have that knowledge,
as informed as possible and knowing things. I mean, it's like a movie reviewer seeing as many movies
and we
as
don't
they can or TV
make
people
that
watching.
Much money, so we'd be freaking broke if we tried to buy every single game that came out to play.
Not
it.
Only that, but if you didn't play, let's say you just came on board and you had to play Dead Space 2 and you hadn't played the original Dead Space or Bioshock 2 and you hadn't played the original Bioshock, you know, it's good to be able to borrow it from the games library, play it, and then make an honest comparison about the two games.
Exactly. So, and that's the other thing too, is like it seems like there might be a misperception that like everybody on staff gets a free copy of the game for themselves. That's not what happens at all. We'll get a couple free copies. Like Christine said, the reviewer typically gets one, and the other ones go in the library, which means we can take them home and borrow them, but we have to bring them back.
We don't get to sneak off.
I can't say that there are many situations that I would probably say this, but I fully agree with Colin. We love you, Colin, if you are listening to this.
That said, I will totally admit that we are extremely lucky in the job that we have, that we get to do that. But it is really part of the job. It is a perk. All right.
We don't get many of them.
Yeah, we don't.
Next question comes to us from Cody. Cody says he seems like he's hearing more and more stories about mistreated workers in the video game industry, as well as incompetent management, which he guesses goes hand in hand. And his question is, without naming names, is this something that is prevalent in the industry? And I actually just pitched an editorial.
Oh yeah, you did.
Today. So I'll be writing it in more depth about that, but it depends on what you define as mistreating. Is there a lot of overtime? Yes. Is there incompetent management? Yeah.
But you can say that about any industry.
The game industry is actually getting better in that regard, because lots of game companies in the beginning were run by game makers, like designers or programmers, people who did not necessarily understand
business. Yeah.
And more and more companies aren't being run like that anymore. They're actually being run by somebody who understands business, which, you for good or bad.
Sometimes that can lead to worse games. But
I don't know about mistreating. Overtime is definitely prevalent, and I don't want to go into this in too much depth because I'm going to write an editorial about it. But I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I don't work anywhere other than IGN.
I don't either. But I will say that when I went to with someone from THQ to go look at a wrestling game, that I was amazed the hours that the Japanese developers put in. Like, they actually had little buckets with like shampoo and a toothbrush and everything because they would literally stay overnight working on these games. They had little bunk beds.
It's more about Japan than it
probably
does.
But it was just it was amazing that the time and effort that people put into games. Even
I
if
do
you don't
know of
good,
developers they're... that have stayed overnight.
Yeah. I'm not saying that yeah. nobody's ever. Yeah. I mean, I
used to stay overnight in my PR job though. So
I've pulled all nighters in the press side and as a teacher, and you know, I mean, they're just it's not nearly as regular for us as for, I mean, developers, right. Developers definitely hit crunch definitely, times yeah. on and protracted crunch times for extended things. But I mean, any industry has aspects of that in all sorts of assets of, I don't know. I don't think it's unique to gaming. There are crappy jobs and crappy managers, no matter where, what you work in. Yes. And then there are good ones. And good managers. Mm-hmm. And good companies and bad.
Yeah. And also, you know, unfortunately, in the game, you know, if every game had as much time and as much money as it needed to actually get made, this wouldn't be a problem. But that's like fairy tale land. And right. it's not going to happen.
And it's like anything, you know, books get shoved out. Movies get shoved out. TV shows. I mean, you know, Two and a Half Men.
I'm going to stop because I don't want to go too much into that.
You don't want to give away your article.
Look for
it soon, probably in the next couple weeks. Next question comes to us from Jordan. Jordan wants to know how much homework we got in high school and college and whether or not we had to stay up late to finish it.
I'm trying to remember. What?
I don't even remember. I'm probably the
closest. I was always one of those people who immediately did my homework, like, as soon as I got home, so I'd get out of the way and then just play video games and do stuff like that. I actually would sometimes do it even, like, because I had volleyball after school, so there'd be, like, this half-hour period between volleyball and, like, school and volleyball, and I would just, like, race through all my homework and do it that way.
Yeah, for at least the last few years of high school, I worked a job 6 days a week.
Oh, wow.
But luckily was able to schedule a study hall at the first period. So I did my homework the next before school started. Yeah.
I was always I was a very good student mostly because I was always afraid of getting in trouble. More than because I was well behaved, but I was also a procrastinator. So I always got all my stuff done, but it would often be a scramble at the last minute.
Yeah. I did that with projects. I'm one of those people, I work really well under pressure. So with projects, I'd always wait till last minute and then I'd get an A because I'd stress out for 3 days and not like go kind of crazy. Yeah. But with homework, it was always like I just zip through it.
I have pulled all-nighters in both college and
depends on what it was. I mean, in my history and government class, it was the same teacher. It was a guy who was then like a couple of years away from retirement. And like our homework was just like you had to answer the checkpoint questions at the end of the chapter. But he just looked down to see if you had
written
on a sheet of paper. So like you'd walk in and you'd be like, looking, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, blah, blah, blah. And then he'd just walk down and walk by and go, check.
Yeah. And you were like, yay.
Yeah, my volume of, I mean, I don't know. It didn't seem like there was a huge volume of homework for me in high school. And I don't know if that's because there really wasn't or just because
it's been a long time.
No, because I found high school ridiculously easy.
High school was largely easy. Physics and I mean,
physics was the only thing.
And some
my physics class killed my perfect 4.0 GPA. Anyhow,
I made it through, but at college I had more just because it was, I mean, English. You just did a lot of reading and you had a lot of papers.
A lot of papers. Yeah.
Papers. Oh, I don't think I could ever go back to school and do that stuff again.
Could if it didn't involve math. That was just my absolute worst. I was even better. Like I was good at biology, chemistry, but whatever it is about math, I just.
I was a mathlete.
Were you a mathlete?
Oh my God! Did you have a jacket?
No. Oh. No, I did not have jackets, but I was a mathlete.
You were a mathlete?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was a nerd.
Yeah.
Okay.
Still am.
Next question comes to us from Brian. Brian wants to know if any of us have any special talents.
Mathlete. Even though I totally couldn't do any of it now.
I can growl.
You can growl?
That sounds really stupid.
Well, wait. Did that again. That was awesome.
You said you were a theater kid, though, too. Yeah. So you can act, right?
I guess. Okay. I just think of, like when you say special talent, I think like a
goofy
party trick.
I have no goofy party tricks. I'm a good cook. and I also sew.
Yeah, I am a good cook as well. I, before coming to this job, contemplated going to culinary school.
I remember because when I listed the job, I didn't even contact you because I figured you were in culinary school.
Yeah, it didn't quite work out cost-wise. But what else? I can play the xylophone.
Ooh. Wait, is that the ding ding?
Yeah,
yeah, okay, yeah. I'm like, am I thinking the right thing?
Okay. Yeah, I played it in high school.
Wow.
I took piano lessons for 13 years, but I haven't touched a piano.
But now I can only go up the B flat scale. I can't go back down it. My hand motion is like, it's really weird.
Trying to think of something really cool.
But well, you're taking voice acting. I am taking voice acting lessons.
In fact, I have another class tonight. Like, I'm in the advanced classes and they're kicking my butt. But yeah, so I guess that's a talent. And I'm good at languages. I try to self-teach myself German. No Japanese, no Spanish, no little bit of French, but forgot all of it. And I used to be able to say something in Russian. And now I'm sad because
Dos vidanya.
I don't know, it was like borscht. Yeah, it's like, what time is it? Yeah, borscht.
Sorry, that's it. There's my Russian vocabulary for you right there. Vodka.
Stroganoff.
yeah, exactly.
Okay, we got time for one more. This one comes to us from Aaron. Aaron, talking about Extra Life, wants to know if we think IGN should do it next year and what we would possibly do differently if we were to participate again. I think we will participate next year because I think
I would be able to handle it. It didn't seem as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Next year, I will not play the same game for 24 hours.
Yeah, please don't. For the rest of us. Too.
Not play a game with super long loading screen.
Oh my God. I fell asleep.
You did. I walked by and I was like, Christine fell asleep during her loading screen.
And it was still loading.
Yeah, no. I mean, it was fun. It was fun. The prospect of staying up all night still is like.
But it was sort of a fun excuse to just eat crappy food.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to have 5 sodas. And it's, I don't care because I have to stay up for 24 hours. And, I'm going to eat some pizza.
So much. That was the thing I felt.
I did feel gross.
I felt so gross after, from the food, from what I ate and then did not eat. The one thing that I thought was awesome, I mean, that I personally run into is because I can't ever play games for big chunk of time. Yeah. Like, all day. Right. Like, I never get to play games all day anymore because my daughter's up. So that was really cool. Just being able to do that and know that I'm not going to get interrupted by, you know, her up wanting me to pay attention to her, feed her.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah. I doubt I would have gotten as far through Death's Bank as I did if I hadn't played it during that. So, and that would have been a good excuse, a loss.
A good opportunity to play some games.
Yeah, so it sounds like we'll all do. I mean, it was a huge success, so I don't see any reason why we wouldn't.
And it's for a super good cause, so.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, we'll be doing that again this year, I'm sure. And with that, we're going to wrap it up. Thanks so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, or feedback, you can send those to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/IGNGirlFight. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/IGNGirlFight. And you can follow each of us on my IGN individually. And it's Dana IGN, Steimer-IGN.
Megan IGN, M-E-G-H-A-N.
Yeah, H in the Megan, and I'm the weird one, WTP Nicole. Which stands for what they play. I've had some people post some very creative interpretations of what that stands for. Yeah. So thanks for listening, and we'll be back with you next time.